You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida, welcoming you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and we've been doing this for 19 plus years. And so this is amazing when I think about the time. And God gave us the name way back, Raising the Standard. And we want to do that. So we're honored to be here with you. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Don and I co-pastor this church here in Stuart, and we have for all these years. And so it's a pleasure, and it's a lot of hard work sometimes, but we know that our labor is not in vain, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, over the very last verses. Our labor is not in vain. So we're honored to be here with you. So if you can, hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If you can't, we do offer a CD or a tape, whatever you want. And all we ask for is a love offering to be sent in to us, to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That you make the check out to that. And it's Post Office Box 413. Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995. So, Pastor Donna, you got anything you want to mention up front that we got coming up that we might want to talk about?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I want to say hello and bless everyone. And we're just thankful that we can be on WCNO every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 p.m. for a whole hour. Mm-hmm. And we're also on the internet, WCNO.com, and you can listen to this teaching again later at any time that you like, or you can tell your friends or relatives who live anywhere in the world. They could listen to this program, Raising the Standard, or they can listen to other things on WCNO.
That's right.
We're blessed to be on 24/7 WCNO radio.
That's right.
On the internet, so praise God for that. I do want to mention that I just got a video from Roscoe a little bit ago.
Roscoe walks on Andro Sign.
Yes, and he's poured one of the beams.
Hallelujah.
That's going to hold the roof. Praise the Lord. So God, that's going up, and so maybe I'd like to give to that as well. They could send some money to help build the church. It's called the Temple of God on Andros Island.
In the Bahamas.
That's right. Amen. Praise God. Church is going up. So we just thank God for that. And I want to mention also that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. Friday nights at 7 p.m. We have a Shabbat service. And we spend time seeking God's presence and soaking in God's presence and worshiping the Lord. Amen. Worship God. The Bible says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, or Yeshua, is the spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
So we want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I also want to mention that we also have Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. So come and join us, and we would be glad to meet you. I know some of you listen from afar, but if you'd like to come and visit us, we're here in Stuart, Florida, right on Canner Highway and Monterey Road in the Monterey Plaza. We're in the plaza. So you can call and we can give you directions. You can also Google us on your map. But our phone number here in Stuart is area code 772 285 7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we're blessed to be here this day.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Spring is sprung. Spring. It's spring.
Spring is
it's spring.
That's right.
Hallelujah. The flowers are blooming. The sun is shining. And we're getting some needed, much needed rain. But
right.
We certainly need rain of the Spirit.
That's right.
We need the reign of the Spirit more than anything.
Anything else, that's right.
And people need to come to the to know the Lord Jesus Christ, not just know about Him,
but to truly know Him.
To truly know Him in spirit and in truth.
With a personal relationship with Him.
Amen.
That's the only hope that we have.
And the only way we're going to really know Him is spend time with Him.
That's right.
And read His Word, study His Word.
That's right.
And we're going to be talking today about the calendar. Mm-hmm. When you say, what calendar? I know about the calendar, January, February, March. No, we're not talking about that calendar. We're talking about God's calendar. And Pastor Gene's going to start sharing on that. God actually had, or has, two calendars.
A lot of people don't realize it. I didn't realize it for years
right.
either.
And we're going to find out also that one of His calendars, He changed.
Sure.
So there's always been, God has two calendars. And so a lot of people have confusion about that when it talks about in the first month. Well, I won't go to there. But anyways, we'll talk about that as we get along. We don't want to confuse people.
The key thing is that Yeshua will fulfill both of the calendars.
He's going to fulfill
both
calendars.
In the book. And I've heard very few people teach on this.
Mm-hmm. How can you fulfill both calendars in this first month when they come in different times?
That's right.
Well, because there's two calendars. One is almost like a crop calendar. That never changes. The seasons don't change.
Seasons don't change. God just changed the number on the calendar.
Just changed the number.
On the months.
So we're just blessed to be here, and we just thank the Lord for all of you who listen. We'll say hello to Linda. We got your note, Linda. We sure love you and sure miss you. And others out there that listen to us from other places, from a distance, like Judy and Daryl up in there in the Carolinas. And praise God. I don't know. You know, people can listen from anywhere. We never know who's tuning in.
That's right. So I thought what we'd do, I was telling Pastor Donner before we came on, I can't remember all these 19 plus years. We've never actually went into great detail and taught on the calendars in the Bible. We hit on certain things from time to time. But I thought we'd do like the Bible says, go back to the ancient past and see what God's trying to tell us today. And one verse that stirred me up for years and years, and I could never really figure it out until I began to see some things with the Hebrew understanding and all that. And that's where we're going to start. I'm going to go to Joel chapter 2 with you if you're at home or someplace where you can listen to it with us on a computer, whatever. Don't do it while you're driving a car, hopefully. But I'm going to take you to Joel chapter 2. And like I said, if you'd like to get to hear this again, we offer tapes and CDs of the program. I'm going to take you to Joel 2, and I'm just going to read one verse here for you, and I'll show you what stirred me up for years. I finally got the answer. Be glad then, the prophet says, from God speaking for God, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you, here we go, the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now, the King James Bible has the word month in italics, but I believe it's the correct translation because it's talking about months. Now, some other Bibles says something else, but I believe this is the correct translation, in the first month. Well, it says he's going to cause us to have the former rain moderately. He will cause the rain to come down for the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. Now, one thing about this rain in the Hebrew can also mean a teacher of righteousness. And so I believe it's prophetically speaking about Yeshua, the Messiah. And so this troubled me for years because I thought, how can you have the former rain, which is in the spring, and the latter rain, which is in the fall, in the same month? Well, there's something there. God's revealing here that he's got two different calendars, and we're going to find out how it was established for us to know what God wants us to know in this day, in this hour. And so it's very important to comprehend this with all that we have in the Word of God. But we can put it all together and we can see what God's wanting to do with all this. And so he gave us the former rain moderately. Yeshua came to the earth and he will cause to come down for you. Here we are. The teacher of righteousness is going to come again one day. The former rain, this is Yeshua talking about the teacher of righteousness, and the latter rain in the first month. It's amazing when you think about it, amen? So this troubled me for years, but I finally got the answer. And the key is that we got two calendars to talk about right here. And the key thing was, how can you have, as I mentioned, the former and the latter rain in the first month when they're 6 months apart on the calendar? Something's different, you know? And so as I looked at it, the Lord began to show me the answer. So you can keep that one in mind. That's a good one to study and see what God's doing with that. So I want to go back to the very beginning now, talk about this thing, about the calendars with you a little bit. And hopefully we can get through this and you get some understanding. And by the way, when we're done, I have a page in my book that I wrote about God's prophetic calendar plus the pictures of the Messiah in the first covenant and the second covenant and all that. We made a chart called God's Prophetic Calendar. It's a circular thing because, you know, God is cyclic. The calendar goes around 12 months every year, and we have a beginning and ending of the year, and so it's all revealed on this round calendar. We made a chart of it. So if somebody would like to have a copy of this to kind of maybe put a picture in your mind, we'll offer this to you for free. All we ask you to do is send in a self-address with a postage stamp on it, address, you know, and we'll mail one of these out to you, and you can look at it and compare what God's trying to show us. And what it shows you every month, it shows you the prophetic calendar, and also shows you the civil calendar is on there as well. So it's interesting to see that. So we're going to start at the beginning. Now I want to go over to Genesis chapter 8 with you. If you're at home, or maybe you're sitting there looking on a computer, whatever, or listening on a computer, I'm going to go to chapter 8. I'm not going to read all the history here. I just want to show you what happened. We know what happened with the flood. And God had Moses write all this down. And in chapter 8, verse 4, it says this, "And the ark," you know, after the flood, it rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Well, when I read this years ago, I thought, well, this is the seventh month on the 17th day of the month. Well, what was the seventh month? I had no clue at that time. I didn't understand what was being said here. But I want to mention this with you. God has established on his calendar, and I like to call it, he has a civil calendar, and he has a prophetic. Some people call it a spiritual calendar, but I don't like that word. It's a prophetic calendar. And we're going to see in Exodus 12 that he did some changes here to show us some interesting things. And so the interesting thing, we look at this, we go to Exodus chapter 13. It tells us when Israel came out of Egypt, it was in the month of Abib. Well, the month of Abib was changed later on after the Babylonian captivity to the month of Nisan. Well, here in chapter 8, verse 4, this is revealed as the seventh month. So this is the seventh month on the civil calendar at that time was the month of Abib, or we call it Nisan today, and on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. So this reveals that we were on, at that time, they were on a civil calendar, and they were on a civil calendar, if you can keep this in mind, from Genesis 1:1 all the way through till we get to Exodus 12, and then God's going to make a change here. We're going to talk about this in a moment. But you want to keep this in mind about the calendars. Jesus, Yeshua, had to fulfill these. And before I leave this point, I want to mention one thing. Verse 4 here in chapter 8 of Genesis shows you the exact month and the exact day that Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, rose from the grave. He, on the 17th of Nisan is when, or Abib it was back in that day, is when he rose from the grave. So God is, this right here is a prophetic window. But we're at this point in time, we're still on what we would call a civil calendar. Now I want to go over now to Exodus chapter 12, and we know this is when they became stirred up, and God stirred them up, and he moved them out of the land of Egypt. They were under bondage for all those years, and God moved them out. Now, to show you what I'm talking about here, chapter 13, verse 4 says this. "This day came ye out in the month of Abib." That's when they came out, which was what? At this time, it was the seventh month on God's civil calendar. Now, look at chapter 12. Now, we're going back up to chapter 12. And we'll show you what God did with all this. Now, we know they came out. So I'm going to read a couple, three verses here with you. And you might want to mark some things in your Bible. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying," he says, "this month," notice it says, "this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So God's made a change here, because the first month on the civil calendar is in the fall, is in the month of Tishri. And the original calendar and the civil calendar still runs it with. The Jewish people celebrate their new year in what? In the month of Tishri. And so the original civil calendar went from Tishri, ran 12 months around the year, and came back to Tishri again. So the seventh month on that calendar would be the month of Passover. And so here it says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. So this was the seventh month when they came out of Egypt, and God says, now today I'm going to change not the season of the year, but I'm going to change the number on this month. So instead of being now the seventh month, it's going to become the first month. And so then the seventh month, which is on the civil calendar, the seventh month on the prophetic calendar was changed to the fall, which is in the month of Tishri. So the civil calendar, remember, runs from Tishri all the way around and comes back. The new one now, with Passover and the month being the first month on God's prophetic calendar, now goes from Passover and goes all the way around the year again. These 12 months go by the same way. And you can see this on this chart if you'd like to have this. So he did something very special here. And so this month now became the beginning of their months, not years. It tells us in Ezekiel chapter 40, I think, the beginning of the years. The beginning of the years come when? In Tishri, on the civil calendar. And the Jews still honor that. So here, he's changed the calendar. He changed the number on it now. He didn't change the season. It's still in the spring and all that. But he changed what? The number on it. It's incredible. And I always use this as an example. You know, it's a picture of the new birth. God was going to bring Israel to a place to realize that he was going to do something new with them. And he had to show them that it was going to require a change of heart on their part to do the things that he asked them to do and to follow him and do his commandments and all that they promised he would do in Exodus chapter 19 all over here. When the Torah was put in place, they said they would keep it. Well, we found out for the most part they didn't keep it. So he had a reason for all this. And so it's a picture, I believe, of the new birth. You know, I'm 77 now on my civil calendar, but I'm not even ways near that old on my prophetic calendar. Thank God for that. So the thing that God's looking at with all of us is not how old we are physically, it's how long we've been walking with the Lord and what we've done with that time we've had with the Lord. And so that's called the prophetic calendar. So I was changed from the civil calendar to a prophetic calendar, and I'm walking in that now. And so this is what God's going to judge me in, and you also in the days ahead. What did you do with the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, from the time that you came to him, Amen. From that point on? That's what's important. The civil calendar, see, is really passing away. The only time that God uses the civil calendar in the Word of God, we see, is like at the coronation of kings and some things like this. They honored that at that time of the year. But otherwise, anything in here we see that's spoken by any of the prophets prophetically, giving you a month and a day, it's all on a prophetic calendar. It is not on the civil calendar. So if it's a prophetic calendar, it means it's a calendar that started in the month of Nisan and runs for 12 months. It's pretty incredible when we think about that. So God's put this all in place for you and I to understand this and hopefully to see this thing about the new birth. And so God wants us to know this in our heart. And we have to, before we really understand the prophetic clock, well, that's the starting. But before we can understand the prophetic picture of everything that God says in the Word of God, we need to know the calendar. We need to know the calendar so we will not be confused in any way, shape, or form. And if we don't, well, then we can mix it all up. And another interesting thing, I took you over there to Joel chapter 2, and I talked about the former and the latter rain. Well, a lot of these Bibles today that don't have the prophetic thought on it, they're still on a civil calendar. They're going to say they shouldn't be, because at that time they were put on a prophetic calendar. And most of the Bibles, these other Bibles, will have a footnote down the middle of the Bible telling you that the former rain was in the fall and the latter rain was in the spring, because they're on the civil calendar. But see, it's been changed. It should be reading the former rain was what? In the early part, during Passover, was the former rain, and the latter rain is going to be during the month of Tishri. It's right there for us to see this if we look at it real close. And so this chart shows this for us. And I'm just kind of looking at this chart here now. Here's, I got the circle. I'm on the first month here. This is the biblical new year, and this is in the month of Nisan, today they call it. And so it's the first month on the prophetic calendar. But remember, this is also the seventh month on what? On the civil calendar. But this time in Exodus 12, God changed that. And now I'm going to go out to the end of the year, the month of Tishri, right? Used to be the first month on the civil calendar. Well, they still honor that with the new year, but now it became the seventh month on the prophetic calendar. So it's amazing. So what do we have in that month? We have Rosh Hashanah, we have the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, and we have Simchat Torah, Rejoicing in the Torah, all fall in the month of Tishri. And so Yeshua fulfilled all his work in his passion and all in the first month on what? on this new biblical calendar that God put in place. So he died on Nisan 14, and he rose on the 17th. And then we go around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6 months, and we come to the month of Tishri. It happens to be man's number, 6. And so that's an important time. So what is Tishri 1? It's trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. And you've heard us for years, if you've been with us on the program, we believe that's the day that Yeshua is going to blow the shofar, and there's going to be a sound of an archangel, and he's going to shout and tell us to come up. There's going to be a resurrection and a catching away at that particular time, and that will be in that month. And so when we get on the right year, we don't know for sure what year we're on, but when this time comes on the right year, all these things we just talked about, Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and all that, it's all going to be done in 22 days counting Simchat Torah, and it'll be all over, and we'll be in glory. So, I mean, it's amazing when you think about it. So God has this plan, and we've talked about this a lot if you've been with us. God has a 7,000-year program to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. And that's his plan. So if we look at it carefully where we're at today, we've gone very close to 6,000 years since Adam was on the earth. So we're getting close to this time. We're going to have Jacob's trouble come, we know, for 7 years, and then the kingdom's going to be established. And so God has this plan to do that. Not only mankind, but he's going to restore the earth as well. It tells us in Romans 8 that even the earth is groaning. Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
It's groaning. It's groaning for what? The redemption of man. Because when man gets redeemed, the earth will also be redeemed. Now, we that are born again, we have a down payment for our redemption, but we're not totally redeemed until we have a supernatural body. Either we'll die and be raised from the grave, or we'll be caught off this earth. And one of those two things. And so it's so important to understand this and know what God's put in place for us. And so we have this great promise. I hope I live long enough that I can just be caught off the earth. But if we don't, we'll go by the way of the grave. But remember, we'll be the first ones to come out when we pass it down. It tells you that.
In
Thessalonians,
Lord.
What? The first. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who remain in Christ will be what? Caught off the earth, it tells us over there. And so what a promise we have. So God put this all in place to teach us about the Messiah and his plan and his purpose. And I, as I said a moment ago, I believe the whole thing entirely is picturing a pattern about the new birth. The new birth. He was wanting to bring a change in them, and he gave them an opportunity to do that. It's amazing when we think about that. So I was thinking about one other thing I was going to mention. We already talked about Joel chapter 2 here with you. That's an important verse, and you might study it yourself. And I was troubled with it for a long time because I couldn't comprehend how two different months at the opposite ends of the year could be called the first month. Well, this is the reason why. And so it's amazing just to think about those things and put them in your heart. And God has a reason for everything. So remember now, from Exodus 12, right here, chapter 12, verse 2, when God changed the number, remember, it's not the season, he changed the number on the month. Passover still came at this time, but the number on it changed. And so from this point on, God prophetically, anything we read in the Word of God, about any of the prophets or anything, all the dates that they show in here are all on a prophetic calendar. And we have to keep that in mind. We can't mix the two up. And if we do, we're going to bring a lot of confusion into our lives. And God does not want us to have that confusion whatsoever. And I mentioned in Ezekiel over there, I think it was in chapter 40, it tells you over there that that's going to be the beginning of the years. Well, when is that? That's in the fall. In fact, let's go look at that real quick. I'm going to go over to Ezekiel with you. Let's just turn over there. I wasn't planning on doing this, but we want to bring clarity as much as possible to all of you that are listening, so there'll be absolutely no confusion whatsoever about what God's telling you, so you can understand the Word of God. And see, once I understood that, then the prophetic scriptures really just, I mean, it was like a window of heaven opened up that I could see through that I'd never seen before. It just, everything came in place, and that's what we have to know. Yes, if we go to chapter 40 of Ezekiel, if you're at home, you can open up your Bible and read this with me. It says this, in the five and first verse, in the 5th and 20th year of our captivity, it was while they were 25 years into the captivity with the Babylonians, in the beginning of the year, see this? I marked that in the beginning of the year. It didn't say the beginning of the month. It says in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month. Well, what is the 10th day of the beginning of the year, which is in the fall? It's Tishri 10. What is that day? It's the Day of Atonement. But this is talking about the civil calendar. In the 14th year after the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. So here we give you time. So now this is showing the beginning of the year. So the beginning of the year on their civil calendar, which they honor every year, is the new year with them, is what? Tishri 1, right, Pastor John?
Amen.
And so what picture we have with, and we have so many places to look at this, and we can see things that God's done. It's very interesting. The one I'm thinking about is in 2 Chronicles 29. Let's turn over there for a moment. I should have kept my Bible open here, but I didn't. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. This is when Zechariah was preparing to do something with... let me go back to the beginning of this and just share a little history with us so you understand it. It tells us in chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles, verse 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Hallelujah. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, so here we are, the first year of his reign, first month, and what months will that be? This will be the month of Nisan, all right? Opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So he began to reestablish the things in the, in verse 5 it says, they carried forth all the filthiness out of the holy place. They cleaned the temple all completely. Verse 10, now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us, because they were being judged because of their disobedience. And we go over to verse 15, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and set themselves apart and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. So we should be cleansing our house all the time. Shall we,
Amen.
Pastor John?
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to go down to verse 17 now. Now they began on the first day of the first month. This is Nisan 1, okay, to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. Well, the 8 days is 8 day. They would be what? During the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And in the 16th day of the first month, this is the 16th day on the Jewish calendar. This particular time is an interesting thought. This was the weekly Sabbath. This was a Sabbath. On the 16th and the 17th day, we know Yeshua rose on that day. It was the first day of the week. Then, verse 18, then they went into Hezekiah, the king, and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression. This is why Zechariah had to do this. Have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Now, verse 20 is a key verse. Then Hezekiah, the king, rose early. This is the next day after the 16th. We just talked about the 6th. Now we're on Nisan 17. And gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is a picture also of Yeshua. He's our sin offering, wasn't he? He was righteous. He was righteous. And Yeshua was the one that took all of our sins away with that, with his offering to us in the future. But these are all patterns. So verse 20 is very key. Then Hezekiah, the king, rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. This was on Nisan 17, as we mentioned earlier, the exact same day that Yeshua, our Messiah, would raise from the grave in the future. So we have lots of patterns all through the Word of God about this time and all that. And so understanding this about the calendar is so important. And if we don't, we get very confused. And I had a hard time with it for a while, and so did my precious wife, right, honey? To keep this in mind when we're talking about the calendar all the time. But this circular calendar that we have, that we offer to you, this will help you a lot. And it shows you our calendar in the middle of the circle, and also around the outside it shows you the Hebrew calendar that God put in place. He did it for us. And so what we have here, I have it marked 9 appointed times. There's really only 7, because I included Hanukkah and Purim. Those were really not appointed times. Those are events in history that happened that God remembered, and he did something special with Israel. But there's actually 7 appointed times. Well, there's really 8 counting what? The Sabbath. We have the Sabbath, the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Those are all the ones that God put in place. And so Yeshua, now remember, he has fulfilled the first four of all of these. He's fulfilled, I'm going to go over here again to Joel chapter 2 for a moment. He has fulfilled all of the appointed times in the beginning of his, or I should say at the end of his life. He's fulfilled it all. And we know that he did. And so we're so honored to understand it and know what he did for us. And so God chose this exact day. So we have the example in Exodus chapter 12. We haven't read that, but we can talk about it a little bit. That was the day that God changed the number on their months. And so the month of Nisan, which was the seventh month on the civil calendar, as I mentioned, then in Exodus 12 became what? The first month. So then we go to Exodus 12. We see when God moves them out. And remember, they had to stay in their houses and kill a lamb or a goat, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And when God came through to destroying all the 10 judgments that he brought, well, if they were stayed in the house, they were taken care of. But later on, we see they go to Goshen, and God protects them in the city of Goshen in Egypt as well. And so this is when they moved out. So then they moved out, and they began to move out after they ate their meal and all on Nisan 15. It's an interesting picture. We see all this. And so when we put it all together, we can see if we understand the calendar and the great dimension. So I went back to Joel 2 to remind you again about he will cause to come down for you the rain. This is talking about the teacher of righteousness in Hebrew, and the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. It's amazing. Now, with that thought, I'm going to go back to Exodus where we left off a little bit ago, and we'll take this a little bit further with you. And we saw in Exodus chapter 8 that God had this civil calendar in place. And he still has a calendar with 12 months, with 30 days in each month, according to the biblical text, which is 360 days per year. Well, you know, we've got some confusion with that too, because the calendars have been played with. But if we want to study God's word and know what he's talking about, we have to be on the biblical calendar, not the Gregorian calendar that we're on. And so that's why we have to keep this in mind. So we talked about Exodus 12 when they moved out. They moved out on Nisan 15. And they moved out of the land of Egypt. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 51 of chapter 12 says, "And it came to pass the selfsame day," which is the 15th in Nisan here, "that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." And then 13:2 says, "Sanctify," he says, "sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine." Hallelujah. So it's a picture of Yeshua, of what he did, for he was the firstborn, hallelujah, of God. Now I took you over here. You go through chapter, if you study this out with your Bible and read it, you'll find out that left on the Nisan 15, and they traveled until the 16th, and when they got to the 16th, they were right near the Red Sea. So I'm going to find this in the Bible here for you. Hallelujah. But if you go through and you can read all this, you can see how it came to pass. Okay? Glory be to God. I think I want to get over here to 14. It's where I wanted to go. Yeah, I want to go to 14. All right. So we find here, if we read this, that they left on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't tell us all this, but you can see how they traveled here if we look at this, okay? I'm going to start here in verse 19 now. Well, let's go up and read 13 of chapter 14 of Exodus. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." So here they got to the Red Sea. And they were afraid they weren't going to be able to cross it. And we knew that they knew the Egyptians were following them. Amen? Hallelujah. And then verse 14. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall" what? "Hold your peace." Verse 13, that verse salvation is how we get the word Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Salvation. "Stand still and see the Yeshua of the Lord." Amen?
Amen.
And so we see they got to the Red Sea. And I know where I want to go here. Let's start in verse 19. "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel," hear that, the angel of God.
Angel of God.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
This might have been Yeshua in his pre-incarnate state.
That's right. See, but people are reading this passage, This is part of the Torah.
That's right.
Where we're talking about the first five books of the Bible.
That's right.
And so we get understanding, deeper understanding.
Hallelujah.
And I'd say, mm-hmm. you know, revelation to us, mm-hmm. you know, that we would understand the deeper things mm-hmm. of God. That's what he wants us to do.
That's right.
To get in deeper.
So they knew that it says that the camp of Israel removed and went behind them,
uh-huh.
and the pillar of the cloud went before them, their face, and stood behind them. And it came, this is the cloud, and the cloud came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near, and the other all night. So it separated the Egyptians from what? From Israel. And if you look through this and study this out, from the time they left, you can find out this is why it's up to be in Nisan 16 here. Amen. Now verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Hallelujah. Now, verse 24 is what we want to key in on here a little bit, because God's showing us something again prophetically. Now, remember, right here, the calendar was changed, remember, in Exodus chapter 12. So they're on a prophetic calendar now. They're not on the civil calendar in God's eyes anymore. Now, verse 24 says, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, now let's stop right there. When was the morning watch? Was Israel. They didn't have watches during the day. Their watches were at night, from 6 to 9. 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6 in the morning, okay?
So it would be 3 to 6 in the
That's
morning.
That's right. So this is in the morning watch, between 3 and 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of Egyptians. This is a prophetic word right here. When Yeshua came out of the grave, you know, he died on the 14th. He was put mm-hmm. in the tomb. He was in there during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then on the first day of the week, Nisan 17, he came out of the grave. Well, people say, well, when did he come out? This proves, I believe, that he came out in the morning watch, sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. on the morning of Nisan 17. Isn't that amazing? So here we're looking at this with what? The prophetic understanding of the time. You were going to say something there, honey?
Well, I was just really, I'm just going to study this out, because I just kind of got stuck on what you just read. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord caused the sea to go by a strong east wind.
Mm-hmm.
So the wind was coming from the east. From the east
mm-hmm.
to the west.
Right.
And I'm trying to picture the map.
Yeah.
And it seems to me, if I'm seeing it right, we have the east coast, the west coast.
Right.
That the wind may have been coming in their face.
Well, possibly.
Because they were leaving Egypt to go to a new land, right?
Mm-hmm.
To go across the sea. I don't know. I'm going to have to get a map and look
at
that.
If you look at the Red Sea where they crossed, and you look at east and west, okay, they came from the east and went across. And I'm thinking about when they came through the Jordan River.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So that's an interesting thing. You know,
that's right.
If you'd be standing there, I'm thinking about all these millions of people standing there
right.
and feeling the strong east wind.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? That strong east wind
must have been
was
strong.
So strong
yeah.
that God parted the sea. See, people can't, they don't see this. They can't, they don't think, oh, they try to figure out a way, you know, the water was low then.
It says it was a wall.
they could walk through it, you know,
yeah.
it was like a puddle, you know,
yeah.
two, 3 feet. No. It was deep water,
mm-hmm.
and that wind was so strong. God's wind, you know, the wind of God is powerful, and it has authority. And so what did it do? It blew so hard, it divided that water. First it had to divide the water.
Mm-hmm.
Then the water, as it divided, it came up, and it actually made a wall. And you can actually see this where you're reading right now in the Torah scroll. Like, we have a Torah scroll at the church. If somebody were to come and look, or go anywhere and look at a Torah scroll, you would see right where they went through the sea.
That's right.
It's so exciting. It shows you in the scripture because, you know, the letters of the Hebrew letters, they make a picture as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so what with these letters, it looks like they're all pushed to the side, and mm-hmm. it looks like then there's a few letters going, like making a path, walking through the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So this wind was so strong that it caused the sea to roll up on the sides and make a wall.
Wall on each side, yes.
You know, and it was like a wall of concrete. Like if you were going to pour a wall and you have to let it set, well, God didn't have to, it didn't have to set. God set it.
It was on dry ground.
And the ground they walked through, it wasn't dry. mushy, muddy, or anything else. It
says
the ground was dry, so the wind was so strong that, and then I was thinking about the direction, that wind must have been blowing so strong, you know, where you probably couldn't stand up, you know.
That's right.
But that just, I just see this rolling back. See, I just take my hands and rolling back, walling, making a wall, like a U, like a capital U. Mm-hmm. And they're walking through this, and they've got this wall on both sides above their heads, most likely above their heads, and they're walking through there with all of their stuff, all their belongings, all the treasures that they took out of Egypt. Can you imagine? I mean, to see that kind of a miracle.
That's right.
And to have that done. And, you know, it says Moses stretched out his hand. Well, Moses had a rod in his hand. That was a rod of authority. Like the rod of a king. He was doing what the king said to do, what Yeshua
That's
said,
it.
God said to do. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God Almighty. And so his hand, that yod, his hand, that's the mighty power of God and the authority of God to cause this to happen. And you know, sometimes we read over something like this, we read it and we just don't even see. That's why God said to me, we need to have an eye
to see,
an ear to hear. See, not only are we seeing, but we're hearing. You're reading out loud. When we read out loud, we're faith is building in us.
That's it.
And we're faith builds in us, and then we can see more, and we can see deeper into the things of God, and to see that this is such a powerful mystery that people today, they still can't understand it.
That's right.
Why? Because they don't have the faith to see and to pick up what God is saying about how powerful He is.
That's right. He can do all things. Some people
all
deny
things.
This has ever happened that way. You know.
That's right.
But I was just thinking while you were talking, we have, you know, we see how the ark rested on Nisan, 17, on the civil calendar over in Genesis 8. Now here we see they're on the prophetic calendar now, and look what God does again on Nisan 17, on the prophetic calendar. Hallelujah.
So we move now from one calendar to a prophetic calendar, and a prophetic calendar to me means the appointed times of the Lord.
That's it.
The appointed times of the Lord. See, there's seven appointed times of the Lord. And you know, even in our Torah reading again this week, it talked again about the Sabbath.
That's it.
How holy the Sabbath is. And many people don't really honor the Sabbath, how holy the Sabbath is. And God said, He rested of
That's
all
right.
his work, and he said he gave the Sabbath to us, to man,
That's right.
that we might rest and that we might come into his presence. It's a day of rest. And so how do you rest? You got to rest in the Lord. And it doesn't just mean taking a nap or sleeping all day. No, it means spend time with the Lord. That's where we get our true rest. Our true rest comes from the Lord.
That's Amen. It.
Praise God. That's so awesome.
Yep.
So God's,
so I'm kind of back to Joel chapter 2 here a little bit, and chapter 1 a little bit. In chapter 1, starting in verse 14, God says this, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly. Well, what appointed time does God require the Jewish people to have a solemn assembly and fast for 24 hours? It's on the Day of Atonement. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. And alas, for the day, talking about the very end, the day of the Lord. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. So he's warning Israel it was going to come one day. So it's also a pattern of the future. Now we go to chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet, or this is a shofar, in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And this is a pattern, a picture of Jacob's trouble that's going to come. So what is this? Blow ye the trumpet. This is a trumpet. This is talking about Tishri 1. This is talking about the day of blowing of the trumpets. We call it Rosh Hashanah because it's the beginning of the new year. And then we go on over here, and now we go to verse 15 of chapter 2. Listen to this now. It says, blow the trumpet again. Blow the shofar in Zion. Here we are. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Well, we're talking about the Day of Atonement now. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Set them apart, in other words. Assemble the elders. gather the children, and even those that suck the breast, babies on their mama's breast. Let the bridegroom, here's a pattern of Yeshua HaMashiach, go forth of his chamber. He's in a chamber in heaven right now. He's on the right hand of the Father. He's getting ready to come back here one day. And there's going to be a shofar, but there's going to be a shout from heaven. There's going to be a resurrection out from among the dead and a catching away. Go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Incredible. What a pattern we have here. It's amazing what God shows us with these times and all that. Hallelujah. And then over in verse 27, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And we already read verse 23 about the latter and former rain in the first month. Now verse 27 in chapter 2 says, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. He said this twice, didn't he? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So here we are. He's going to pour out. So when did that happen in the New Testament? When did he pour out his spirit and all that? It was at Pentecost. That was on Sivan 6, okay? Mm-hmm. And so it was an appointed time. And even it tells us that in Acts chapter 2 over there. It says, and when Pentecost was fully come, means when it was fully being fulfilled, we saw what happened. Hallelujah. Suddenly.
Suddenly
blew into that room they were all in and filled them with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. So this shows you the time of the year when all this is going to happen. And then he goes down here. then he jumps to the future here. Verse 30 says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. So we're going to have some kind of a solar eclipse, and the moon into blood. There's going to be a lunar eclipse as well before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. I'm thinking about these six pointed times the last couple of years when we had those blood moons come. So here we got some pictures of this all here. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant, you need to mark that in your Bible, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. We'll see a lot of people are being called, but they're not coming. Jesus, many are called, but few chosen. Well, the Jewish people were chosen. What happened? Most of them fell away. They didn't want to receive him in any way, shape, or form. So we see all these times when this stuff's going to happen. And so God's put a time clock right here for us to understand. And if you get my book, I got charts, and they're showing the timeline. And like in Jacob's trouble, everything, the timing all the way through that whole period, those 7 years, all lines up with God's seven appointed times. Purim is revealed. Hanukkah is revealed. Passover is revealed. Unleavened bread is revealed through all that. Now, the resurrection is revealed in that. Hallelujah. And then we see we go out to the latter part of the year, and we see that trumpets will be revealed. That's the main thing in the book of Revelation. It's going to be revealed. Will be trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and also tabernacles is all revealed during that time. And so God is showing some things, and we have to understand how to put this together. I'm going to take you over to the book of Revelation for a moment, because we're talking about the calendar and all that. Let's look, go to chapter 4 with me, verse 1. And we got to keep all this in mind now. This is all the things that God's talking about in here is on the prophetic calendar, okay? It's the prophetic calendar. And we can't mix it up with our calendar. Now, verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1 says, after this, John says, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Well, if you look at this in the Hebrew, it can also mean a gate. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. Whoosh! This is showing you right here. This is trumpets. Hallelujah. Talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So chapter 1 here is revealing the time of the year. This is going to be in the fall, in the month of Tishri, on Tishri 1, which is the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, it reveals that also in 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 12, if you read that real close. And so one day, the gate will be open. And you in Jesus' day, when trumpets came, it was on what month was it? Tishri 1. This is our prophetic calendar again. All the gates were open in the temple. Read Isaiah 26 about the gates are open, let the righteous come in. Well, the gates are opened during those days. And God's call was to bring people back to him. They're the ones that didn't even know him, to bring them to him. He left all the gates open. It was a call for them to come back on what? On Tishri 1 through Tishri 10. Because when Tishri 10 came, the Jews understand even today, one day it's going to be all over, and then the kingdom is going to be established. And so he gave them those 10 days to get their hearts right with God during that time. And so the gates were open. But when we begin to come to the close of the Day of Atonement, what happens? The gates were slowly closed on the Day of Atonement till they were totally closed. At that point in time, everybody's fate will be sealed at that particular time, at that time, for eternity. And so he's given the Jewish people those extra 10 days, hallelujah, to come to their Messiah. And for some reason, a lot of them still can't believe but all this that he's done. But it's all right here for us to understand. Now, there's a parallel pattern and foreshadow for us in the book of Matthew about this, talking about another appointed time. If you go over to Matthew chapter 25 with me, there's a lot more we could talk about the counter. I can give you a lot more examples, but we just want to stay with what we have time for here today. Maybe we can talk about this a little bit more next week. But in chapter 4, how many's ever read the parable of the 10 virgins? Okay, well, remember, those 10 virgins were not all getting married. They were going to a wedding. Okay, they were going to go to a wedding supper. Some had prepared their oil and some had not. They didn't know when the bridegroom was going to come. And so here we are, a pattern again, a picture of Yeshua HaMashiach. We don't know for sure. We know that the timetable is a 48-hour period with trumpets because they honor 2 days looking for the new moon. Well, what hour would it be? Which of the 2 days would it be? We don't know, and they didn't know at that time either. And so it's a pattern showing us. And then it goes on over here. And I want to go over to chapter 25 now. This is, after this. Boy, that touches your heart. And, while they were buying and trying to buy more oil, they should have been ready all along. The bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in, it says, with the ones that had the anointing and had their lamps prepared, went in with him to the marriage. This means the marriage supper. Now listen to this. And the door was shut. A picture, a pattern here of the gate being closed in the future on a Yom Kippur at the end of Jacob's trouble, when the gates will be closed and everybody's fate will be sealed at that time. So it's a scary thing to think about. But we have so much. And so all the appointed times are also revealed in many places in the New Testament as well. It's not something that God's changed. It's still there.
Amen.
And I've had people tell me, well, Pastor Gene, that's not active today because that was with the first covenant. Well, God didn't change. If you read the book of Revelation, it tells you over there what? That Jacob's trouble is going to be broken down into two sections. One of 1,260 days and another half of 1,260 days. Sometimes it's called 42 months. And so it's 1,260 days. And so if we divide that up, we find out we got those years have 12 months with 30 days in each month. So God is on the same calendar, same time frame that we're not on, but that's we want to stay on this calendar, and that's what we do. We spend our time thinking about what God's going to show us with all of this. And so we give God all the glory and the honor and the praise for this, to understand some of these things. And so God doesn't want us to be in darkness with any of this.
And Pastor Gene, we're coming up about 3 weeks from Passover.
That's right.
Which comes in the first month of the prophetic. We're talking about the first month of the spiritual year, prophetic year.
Prophetic year, yeah.
And, which is the month of Nisan, which is very right around the corner. And so what we're coming up on that, and then what? We have just about 2 weeks, about a little over 2 weeks, and then Passover will come. Well, we know, and we celebrate Passover at our church, don't we? Mm-hmm. We celebrate because we're really commanded to remember these things.
Absolutely.
And we're commanded to teach our children and to teach the church. Mm-hmm. We're accountable to teach truth. Mm-hmm. And so you say, well, why are you talking about this? Because this is part of what Yeshua did and what Yeshua taught. And not only what he did and what he taught, but what he fulfilled. Because mm-hmm. Yeshua came into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan.
Shit.
Okay, that's when they laid up the lamb. He came in,
even
the way they said that he would come in, as is prophesied in Isaiah, and we'll talk about this again more next week. He came in and he had the hardest questions during that time, those four days.
He was really examined.
And that's when they examined the land. That examine, you know, you
the
have
lamb,
examine.
Yeah.
You can examine a lamb to make sure there's nothing wrong with it, no broken bones, nothing wrong with its ears or its eyes or anything else. Well, when you examine a person, you're examining their character and who they are and what they say and what they teach, you know. And so he was examined all those days, and he taught, and he was really, he said some hard things during that time.
Sure did.
And so what do? They lay up once they examine that lamb, they lay up the lamb on the 14th, right, on the 14th. Well, they tie it to the altar, and they go through all the things that they go through, you know, the ceremonies
and
all that.
On the last day, on the 14th.
On that 14th day.
Yeah.
Well, Yeshua went through all those testings, and we're going to talk about that. You know, he went to Pilate, and they examined him, and
went to Herod,
and back and forth, and they did it during the night, you know, and they were doing, it really was wrong what they were doing, it wasn't even done according to Scripture, and what did they do? They put him, they whipped him at that whipping post, and the Bible says he was whipped 39 stripes.
Or more, yeah.
Well, the cat of nine times, the thing they whipped him with had several different, so
cat
even if they
tails,
swung,
yeah.
if they swung that 39 times, but yet it might have had nine strips of leather in it with glass
bones
and glass and metal. So each one of those would make another stripe, right?
Sure would, boy.
So even if they swung it 39 times, you know, he was beaten with beyond recognition. And then what do? They put him on the cross on the 14th. That's when they killed the lamb.
That's it.
And so he was there, and there were things that were said. And the last thing he said was, it is finished.
Finished.
And the last thing that they did that day is the priest said, it is finished. That's when they cut the throat of the lamb. That's when they, Yeshua was put on the cross. Amen. We're down to 1 minute. But
2 minutes.
All these things happened on this prophetic time you're talking about. And we've been talking about Nisan 17. Well, all the things that happened on Nisan 17, you know, we can talk about that again next week. But several things. One thing was the Red Sea. Another thing was about...
They were all deliverance.
They were all pictures of
deliverance. That's what they were on that date.
Came out of the grave on Nisan 17,
that's
showing
right.
that we have victory over the enemy.
Hallelujah.
So we need to know these prophetic things. We need to know this prophetic calendar. If you want a copy of this prophetic calendar, it's one sheet. We'd be glad to send it to you. You can probably look up something like this on maybe on the internet. I don't know. But just give us a call. We'd be glad to send it to you. And we celebrate Passover.
Yes,
we
do.
Remember these holy times because they're pictures of Yeshua. We need to know the pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior.
Well, pictures and patterns, right?
Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, we're blessed to be here every Saturday, 12 noon. Also on the internet, WCNO. You can listen to this all over again if you'd like to. If you want a copy of Pastor Gene's book, just give us a call. We will be having services this weekend. Sunday tomorrow at 10 a.m. So come and join us if you can. You'll learn more then because we're teaching. We teach and worship and we just love the Lord. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
What I like about this also is God's put this in place. That we can understand our new birth.
That's
know?
Right.
We were all on a civil calendar. We still are.
Now we're on a spiritual calendar.
We're on a spiritual or prophetic calendar now. So we hope you got something out of this, and so we love you. So we tell you every week to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. Why do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.